Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Talk to you this morning about this same Jesus. Praise God. Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts is an amazing book. It talks about the beginnings of the church. And actually, God by His Spirit filling the church. And about the spread of the gospel. And so, let's look at the Word of God today. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former account have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up for you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Thank you, God, for your word today. I pray your blessings upon the ministry of the Scripture. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. This same Jesus, we talk about him many times. We preach about him every service. We should. And so here they were not dealing with a different person or a different religion or some other way. They were dealing with the Jesus that said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so here the disciples, the people here that were gathered here, they saw Jesus die on the cross. They saw him suffer. They heard his last words to say, it is finished. And he heard him say to his Father, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And so they knew all of this. And then they saw him resurrected from the dead. And they saw him speak with them for 40 days of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. They didn't go around wondering if Jesus rose from the dead or not. They didn't try to prove that. He appeared to many with many infallible proofs that he was alive. And if you're saved this morning, you're an infallible proof that Jesus is still alive and birthed, born again of his Spirit. And there was great proof of his resurrection. I've never tried to wonder, you know, how can I prove the resurrection? I just know that he's risen, that he's present Jesus, powerful and mighty. Amen. They saw him pay the debt of sin. And then Jesus proclaimed to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. But now I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. So they had this great witness that this same Jesus they saw die. They saw him raise again from the dead. They saw him glorified by many infallible proofs, each one of them having a born-again experience with Christ, and they knew he was alive, and there was no question. May I tell you, 2,000 years today, Jesus is just as alive today as he was then. He's still as powerful as he was then. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still heals the sick. He still raises the dead. He still gives deliverance to those that are oppressed and afflicted and discouraged and depressed. God is on the throne. He's glorious. He is seated at the right hand of the Father as our intercessor. and high priest. Praise God. So this same Jesus, we see, he had given commandments to the apostles in verse 2 here, we see. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Okay? He gave commandments. And what he gave the commandments to the apostles was to said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what Jesus sent them to proclaim throughout the world. They have. My friend, all of these things have happened and are happening in all the world today. Praise the Lord. But he commanded him here, he says, they were to preach Jesus, his life, his words, his ministry, his commands, instructions on how to reach the world. But something else here, they were commanded to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. Amen. My friend, you need power. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to live an overcoming life in the day that we're in, the age we're in any age. If Jesus didn't think we needed it, he wouldn't have sent the Holy Spirit, but he did. And Jesus said, in the Apostle John, he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, nor know him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Praise God. And so God promised the Holy Spirit to come and to fill each believer. And we are saved by the power of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, of judgment. The Holy Spirit leads us to Christ so that we can be saved and have our sins erased. Amen. And be a child of God. But on top of that, there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit that infuses power within the believer to live an overcoming life. And you need that power. And Jesus told them in Acts, Luke 24:49, he says, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. That was his last command. He's saying, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And he says, too, in the book of Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. So God wants his people to be Spirit-filled. Amen. And we can be filled and refilled with the Spirit. We're not once filled, always filled. We can be refilled and renewed in the Spirit. And amen. Like we did this morning. Praise God. God's Spirit moving here. Let's don't turn it away. Let's say, come on, Lord Jesus, we want everything you got for us today. Amen. And so they were commanded to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wait now because the Holy Spirit has already come. And I was preached to much as a young person, a person that had difficulty receiving the baptism in the Spirit and speaking in tongues. They say, we got to wait. We got to have a tarrying service. Well, not now, because Jesus has already come. He's already sent his Holy Spirit, and God can fill a person immediately with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Okay? So he'd given commandments to the apostles, told them to go reach the world with the gospel. And my prayer many days is, God, if there, wherever there's a human being on this planet, and that's many places, unreached people, people where they don't have a real language to hear the Word of God in, or don't have, or they're just illiterate, they don't know how to speak, they don't know how to read or write, but God, through testimony from one to another, as a matter of fact, that's the way the gospel was first spread. They didn't have a New Testament, they had the Old Testament. But they had the fulfillment of the old covenant, and that was Jesus. And they preached Jesus. And wherever there's a person that doesn't know Jesus, they'd receive a clear message of what they need to do to repent and be right with God so that they can be saved and not be lost. My friend, I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. I want people to die and go to heaven. Amen. I don't necessarily want them to die, but if you're born again of God's Spirit, you'll never die. You'll die physically, and the body wears out, and it'll die, but the Spirit of God that's within you lives forever. We're born again of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Also, Jesus gave commandments to the apostles, but he also showed himself alive with many infallible proofs that he was resurrected. Last Sunday, we talked about the resurrection. Amen. And it's one thing to talk about the resurrection. It's another thing to experience the resurrection. So when you're born again of God's Spirit, you become a child of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by where we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit we're the children of God. Children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's the book of Romans chapter 8. Amen. So he was seen by them for 40 days. Did they need proof that Jesus was alive? Well, 40 days of proof, that ought to do it. Yes, he was alive, is alive. And he spoke of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Yes, about his resurrection. His resurrection was obvious. He didn't say a whole lot about his miracles. They had seen and believed that he was the Son of God. And they saw him save others. They saw him do incredible things, even raise the dead. And they saw others have a powerful encounter with God. And today all saved people are proof of his resurrection. Today people from all over the Muslim world are finding the truth concerning Jesus. They may believe that Jesus was a prophet or a good man with a great set of teachings, but they do not believe he was the Son of God, for in Islam they don't believe that God could have a son. But I want to tell you, friend, today we believe that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. And they hope by killing enough Jews and Christians somehow they'll get to a better place and whatever heaven they have. But I want to tell you something. There's not only one heaven. There's only one God. There's only one way to get there, and that's through Christ and him alone. And he's not just another prophet, not just another messenger. He is the Son of God. Hallelujah. He is eternal. He never began. He will never end. He is God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, triune God. Amen. And so, in the Muslim world, there's reports by our missionaries of many personal appearances of Jesus. Some crying out to God because Islam brings no peace, Islam brings no message of hope and no love. Why would you worship something that doesn't give peace and doesn't give hope and doesn't give love? I wouldn't. And we don't have to. Amen, because Jesus is peace, Jesus is love, Jesus is hope. But opposition to this message proved it was from God. In the natural world, people try to use human reasoning to prove that things are not true. Amen, and they use human reasoning to prove that things that they say are true are not really true at all. It's usually by advertisement. That they advertise some product to you that somehow are supposed to make you a better person and you'll have no problems of their own every day after. Amen. But, you know, the world is full of things that are not really true. But there was opposition to this message proved that it was from God. And wherever you hear truth preached, there's going to be opposition to truth. There's people that are opposed to the Bible, opposed to God, opposed to Jesus Christ, opposed to everything that we stand for and the Bible teaches. But we're not opposed to God, to Jesus. We're not opposed. Let me tell you something. We're not opposed that there's a heaven to go to. We're not opposed to preaching that there's a hell you don't want to go to. Amen. There's an eternal life that God has promised and provided for whosoever will, not just a certain select few, but whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. Aren't you served with the God? We serve a God that came for all people. He didn't just come for a select few. He didn't just come for the rich and the pretty people or the old people. He came for all people. It's his will that none perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has programmed you for heaven, but yet we're people that are given the power of choice. And so God wants us to choose him, but we have to make that choice ourselves. So there's many infallible proofs here. in Acts 4:31, they were being persecuted for their faith, and they had been told not to speak the name of Jesus anywhere. And yet the religious leaders saw that they had perceived that Peter and John, they said they were untrained and uneducated men. God can save anybody, even me. And they realized they had been with Jesus. The religious leaders realized that they weren't speaking to somebody that just come up with a great idea. They marveled because they saw that they had been with Jesus. And they saw a man that God had healed. And they could say nothing against it, for the man had been lame for over 40 years. And now he was walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. Amen. And they may have said, we don't want that here, not in our church. But he was leaping and praising God and ran through the temple, the first Pentecostal service they had right after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so there was opposition to that message. And so they began to get together and they began to pray, Lord, you see that there's people that oppose this message. There's people that don't believe you rose again from the dead. There's people that want to kill us and persecute us because we're saying the name of Jesus. So they went to God in prayer. They didn't try to figure out something to send to Congress, see if they could get it passed. But when they had prayed, 4:31, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were infilled, and these are the people that had received the baptism in the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but now they were refilled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They began to live in that boldness of the Spirit and to speak out. Amen. You may not feel very bold, but God can give you boldness at the time you need it. Praise the Lord. And God has given me boldness at times to say things, and we're so afraid what everybody's going to think if we say something about Jesus. Well, we're not afraid. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen. So it is what we need to say. We need to ask God, pray for God for boldness. Amen. And so they had many infallible proofs. They were told how to proclaim the gospel. They were already born again of the Spirit, but they would be baptized and the Holy Spirit would cease to receive power. In verse 8 it says, our text, 1 and 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. And so this shows us right here that God did not die and rise again from the dead for a select few, as some people in a false doctrine teach. But he said, this Holy Spirit is going to come upon you powerfully, and you're going to witness to me about this in Jerusalem. And there would be opposition in Jerusalem. Scribes and Pharisees, they weren't very happy about this Jesus rising from the dead, or the message of Jesus rising from the dead, because they just was afraid they'd lose their power and afraid they'd lose their influence and so forth. But Jesus said, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and even in Samaria. Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. Samaritans were a mixed race of Jews plus a little bit of everything else, kind of like Americans. I don't know what you are, what you came from. If you're wondering about me, I'm sorry. I am who I am. It's just what it is. I've got some Cherokee Indian in me. My great-grandmother's full-blood Cherokee, and my great-granddad was Irish. I don't know. I think I ought to produce a red-headed Indian. I don't know. Anyway, I got some of everything. But here, there were people gathered from all nations under the heavens. They were here, and they weren't interested in cultural differences with each other. They came to seek the face of God, and God poured out His Spirit upon them. And Jesus said, I want you to go and take this gospel to the ends of the earth, Judea and Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. He said, I want everybody to hear that this Jesus that died for their sins and was raised again from the dead, that He's good news for everybody. And I want to tell you, it's good news today. I don't care what you've been through. You may have been through discouragement or depression through the week from various circumstances that happened, but I want to tell you today that Jesus is alive, true and well. He can encourage you. He can strengthen you. He can give you the power to pick up and go on for Him. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He shall send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Greek word parakletos means one called alongside to help. Translated helper in the New King James. And meaning one of the same kind as Jesus. Holy Spirit is God. He's not something you get. Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then not only did He, were there many infallible proofs, but Jesus gave a command. Verses 4 through 7, let's look at our text here. And being assembled together, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me. John truly baptized with water. And it was good. And John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. But after Jesus came in, John said, I must decrease, but He, Jesus, must increase. He says, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You may have heard a fellow speak one time about water baptism. He said, you know, if you just sort of got saved, you might pour a little water on your head if you just got religion in your head. If you just got saved in spots, they might sprinkle you. But if you really got born again, you got to go all the way under. You'd have to be baptized, immersed. That may be a goofy way of pointing out, but anyway, when He says baptized in the Holy Spirit, immersed in, same as used for water baptism, immersed, filled with the Spirit, overflowing with the Spirit. And these people here, if you read through the book of Acts, you find that they didn't just have the baptism in spots. They had it all over, and they turned the world upside down within their own time in 30 years for God, because the power of the Holy Spirit was working in them. Amen. And Jesus gave a command to wait for the Holy Spirit, wait for the promise of the Father, and they did. 120 were gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared in them divided tongues like as fire, and one set up on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I know there's been a lot said about tongues, and people have preached on tongues. Most pastors have preached on long tongues. But different languages is what it's talking about. And there were people from every nation under heaven gathered there, and each one heard them speak in his own language the wonderful works of God. Man. That is, the 120 were speaking in a language not naturally learned. They were just moved on by the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak. And this is evidence that God's Spirit had filled them. Praise the Lord. And that is still today. Amen. God still fills people with the Spirit and gives them heavenly language to praise God in. Has it happened to you, Pastor? Yes. Happens daily almost to me. Just feel God's presence come upon me, and then I began to worship God in a language not naturally learned. Just worship in tongues. Not something I made up or somebody told me what to say, but as the Spirit gave the utterance. It takes God's, you know, He commanded them to wait, to be clothed with power from on high. That's the reason so many are weak in their faith and can't understand restrictions required to abstain from sin, because they don't have the power to say no to sinful things. My friend, you need the power of God to say no to some things out here in society today. We live in a world that's in bondage. We live in a sex-crazed generation, society, that don't have the power that says no to nothing and says yes to everything that's sinful. But my friend, you and I need to stand up as examples, be filled with God's Spirit, and learn to stand up and say no to things that God has forbidden. I'm not talking about making your own list of legalistic rules to live by, but I've said stay into the Word of God. Amen. Read the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19 through 21 and compare it with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23, I think. And so God does not restrict us from things because He's trying to rob us of joy or trying to rob us of a good time. God restricts us from things because He doesn't want you to go under, and He doesn't want you to backslide and turn away from the truth and to die and be separated from Him forever. God convicts us because He loves us and cares for us. Amen. And so many are weak in their faith because they just haven't prayed, God, fill me with Your Spirit. It takes God's power to live above temptations. It takes God's power to keep you from indulgence in sinful pleasures. You know, sinful pleasures may be pleasurable for a little while, but not for long. Because there comes a time, whatever you sow, you have to reap. Okay? Empowered to withstand opposition. You will be tempted to sell out to this sex-crazed society, but God will give you power to honor marriage, to honor home, to honor family, and have children. You know, God didn't mess up. Let me just be plain here. God didn't mess up when He put sexuality in the human race. It was meant to raise and reproduce children. Amen. And everything to reproduce out after their kind, just like animals reproduce after their kind. You know, people today have kind of messed that up. But God made that. God made sex to be enjoyable between a married man and a married woman. Not several, but just one. And so, thank you. I got an amen right there. But regardless of what we see and face in society, there may be pornography everywhere, and there is on the internet and on whatever you want to, you know, if you want to call that up and live there, then you can do that. But my friend, if you don't want to be in bondage, you better say no to it, because it's very addicting. And we need today this same Jesus to give us power to say no, power to wait, amen, power to be fully sold out to God, amen. Don't just sort of live for God. We want to live for God, to be sold out to Him regardless of what comes or goes, regardless of who does this or who does that. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to walk with Him, going to talk with Him. I'm going to enter His heaven one day, and nothing's going to stop me from serving God and living for God and going on with Jesus. My friend, we started this journey. We don't want to stop, amen. We can be confident of this very thing, that God, that He who has begun a good work in us will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Memorize that verse. Amen. Philippians 1:6. It'll help you. Praise God. So Jesus was fully committed to finish the work at the cross. We need to be fully committed to serve Him no matter what. Last of all, here we feel that we see that this same Jesus ascended into heaven. Man. And they saw Him go up. Isn't that amazing? Verse 9 of Acts 1, when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Amen. They saw Jesus do all the miracles, signs, wonders, you know, die at the cross, being raised from the dead, and spoke to them for 40 things, the things concerning. Now they see Him. He said, I got to go back. He said, I've prayed for you that God will send you another comforter, one of the same kind. I'm not going to leave you alone. God, the Holy Spirit's going to be here. As they watched, He was taken up. Cloud received Him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, obviously angels.
who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven?" He's basically saying to them, this is not the end. But he says, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. My friend, I don't know. We may look at the political realm and look for answers here and there, and people stand up and tell lies about how they're going to change everything if they're elected to office. But my friend, I'm not looking for a political solution to me and to you. I'm looking for this same Jesus that came up from the dead, that rose again from the dead, that is exalted to the right hand of the Father. This same Jesus will return one day in the clouds of glory. My friend, we want to be there. We want to go with him. We want to be his children. Amen. We weren't born again just to survive or just to barely get through. We were born again to be with him forever and ever. And one day the trumpet of Almighty God's going to sound. It's going to gather all the people from the ends of the earth that are born again of God's Spirit, and they'll rise to meet the Lord in the air. So shall you be with the Lord. I'm thankful for this same Jesus. Amen. You and I, we weren't here when he walked the shores. We weren't here when he raised the dead. We weren't here when he healed the sick. Man, but we were here when he saved me, when he saved you. We're here when he convicted us of our Holy Spirit, of his Holy Spirit, and know that we need to be saved and born again, and God entered our lives and we were saved and changed by the power of God. This same Jesus that saved you and saved me, he's coming back again. This same Jesus which has taken up from you will so come in like manner as you have seen him go. You say, well, Pastor, you're living on in a fantasy world. Oh, no, I'm not. Amen. My friend, if you don't want to go with him, you can stay in this fantasy world. But when he calls, I want to go. The same Jesus calls, I'm going to be ready to meet him. Praise the Lord.